The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland.
Hey, y'all.
In the hizzy. Kelly, Boston Marathon this morning.
And who you got?
I got Frank Shorter, I believe is who I got.
I got number 1,762. That's what I got.
These guys could not be more opposite human beings than I am.
Yeah. I think you could throw that us. I think you could use us for that.
It's amazing what these days. Anyway, it's Patriots Day in Boston, which means we have morning Shohei. We never will get Shohei on pitching during this show ever for the rest of the season. But it is Patriots Day in Boston. It's 11 a.m. traditional Eastern first pitch in Boston between the Angels and the Red Sox. The Angels trying to avoid the four-game sweep this morning. But Shohei on the hill, the Angels minus 145 road favorites as he takes his 0.47 ERA, his 100 batting average against numbers into Fenway. By the way, his strikeout prop 7.5 this morning. Strikeout trajectory thus far this year, 10-8-6. In his three outings. But he's given up one earned run in 19 innings. Pretty good. So day baseball today.
April 17th, let the Shohei campaign begin. Got it.
Yeah.
Marked it.
I went to a Patriots Day Red Sox game when I was in college, I believe it was, and the Brewers beat him 17-0. Two touchdowns at a field goal. It was awesome. Fewer against the Red Sox.
Did you stay the entire time?
I can't remember what we did. Can't remember. Okay. We will talk baseball with Paul Spohr later. Andy McNeil, more Andy McNeil on the Stanley Cup postseason, which begins today. Looking forward to that. He already gave his opinion about the Golden Knights. He thinks they're in jeopardy against the Jets. He does love his Bruins. He's got a Bruins futures ticket. We'll talk to him about some of the other series today as well. And Dan Bespris on the NBA, plus Wes Reynolds, who gave us one name for the RBC Heritage. Do you remember what that name was, Kelly? It was Matthew Fitzpatrick. And Matthew Fitzpatrick wins the RBC Heritage in a three-hole brutal playoff if you had Jordan Spieth. Did you have Jordan Spieth?
No.
Okay.
No. Although, did I get three or four tweets and text messages asking me that question? Because I'm like, I guess I'm that guy now. Yeah, I did. But no, I was not on Spieth. I'm glad for Wes get a winner home for Long Shots crew with Fitzpatrick. He was a guy I got close to playing, but I don't really feel bad for anybody holding tickets there because it was, like, miserable with both Fitz and Spieth down the stretch of, like, anybody want to make a putt? Make a putt, you can win this thing.
Spieth missed his putts on the first and the second playoff holes by just that much. Just brutal.
Well, even Fitz on the back nine just it was everything was off to the right just a little bit. Then he overcorrected and was sending them left.
But we got to begin with the NBA. What a weekend in the NBA. And by what a weekend, I mean, oh, my God. Just marred by injury. That's the headline here.
I mean, Saturday was awesome.
Saturday was, well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, the first two games on Saturday were the Sixers and the Celtics, right? So the Sixers roll against the Brooklyn Nets. The Celtics lead the Hawks by 30 at the half and then sort of lollygag their way through the second half but still win that game. So the playoffs really only began in earnest with Game 3, not to diminish Embiid's 26, Harden's 23-13. Though James Harden was having trouble shooting twos. He was 1 of 8 from inside the arc. He was missing layups, so that could rear its head at some point. Mikal Bridges, 30 in defeat for the Nets. Nets had 19 turnovers, though. And then Boston, as I said, they led by 30 at the half. Jaylen Brown, 29-12. Tatum, 25-11. DeJounte, 24-8-6 in defeat. But Trey was 5-for-18 from the field. But then it began in earnest. And what you're alluding to is the Knicks and the Cavaliers. Jalen Brunson was everything. 27 points for the Knicks. 11-of-24 from the field. Hart was awesome, too. 17-10. 17 points, 10 boards. And a big three-pointer inside 2 minutes. That put the Knicks up to stay 95-93 after inexplicably the Cavaliers somehow took the lead. I thought the Knicks should have been up like 20 in that game.
Yep. Agreed.
But somehow the Knicks made it dicey and they needed those heroics at the end. So good on them. Spider Mitchell, 38-5-8 in defeat, 51-38 rebounding advantage for the Knicks. They just crushed it on the boards. And then Saturday ended with just an amazing game between the Warriors and the Kings. Everything we could have possibly hoped that series would be all in game one. De'Aaron Fox, 38. Malik Monk, 32. God, I loved him coming out of college, as so many did, teammates. Monk was 14 of 14 from the free throw line. And Sacramento ekes out a game one victory over Golden State. Golden State had their shots. They had a couple shots, a couple looks at the end, including one from Wiggins, who was awesome in his first game back. Curry had 30. Clay had 21. Poole and Wiggins each with 17. Warriors shot 47.8% from the field in this game. They got up 50 threes, but they only made 16 of them. And the Kings could not be stopped on offense at the end of that game. Monk would just drive to the hole every play. Warriors couldn't do anything about it. But again, it could have gone either way. So what can you do? Great, great first game. Good on the Kings. By the way, that crowd was overrun with Kings fans. There might have been 10% Warriors fans, and 8% of those was E-40.
And it was loud. It was loud.
The Warriors were saying that's the loudest environment they played in front of them in a long time.
That game was awesome. Like, that was the shot making at the end of that game was just
both
it was
ways.
Ridiculous. Punch, counter punch with three after three. That was silly, man.
Steph doing Steph things was just incredible.
Yeah, I mean the playoff debut by De'Aaron Fox, the second most points ever in a playoff debut with 38. Like, he was ridiculous. I had a small bet on Sacramento, and then we got in on them live. I think that's going to be a great live betting series.
Back and forth, for sure.
Defense is lacking, and the offense is there.
But let's get to the real point, which is yesterday, and that's, you know, first of all, the Lakers and Memphis play, and going into the half, right, Anthony Davis had this mysterious arm injury. You could run that highlight back five times, and you're like, where'd he hurt his arm? And so Stephen A. and the crew at ESPN, Stephen A. just losing his mind at halftime. Is he even going to come back and play? He did, and the real injury happened halfway through the fourth quarter. The Grizzlies are down four, and Ja, I don't know, you know, I hear a lot of people on both of these injuries. We'll get to the Giannis injury. But there's some people saying, Twitter was a buzz. People are like, oh, the defender slipped in both kids. Just awful. I completely disagree, Kelly. If anything in both injuries, talking about Ja halfway through the fourth quarter with the Grizzlies down four, tried to leap over Anthony Davis with a tomahawk jam or something, Anthony Davis was well in position. Or in other words, a basketball move, you could see he was going to very well be in position. And I don't know, and Giannis, by the way, not even 8 minutes into the game against the Heat, Kevin Love is well in position in that game. And Giannis, I guess it's one big step from behind the sort of the charge block arc, if you will, under the basket. Giannis is one big Giannis step out of that. And he ends up crashing to the floor. It's a contusion in the back for Giannis. It's a hand injury for Ja Morant. Ja saying game two could be in jeopardy against the Lakers. Giannis, we don't know about, but negative x-rays for both, which is the great news. But I would go the other way. I would actually say, Kelly, the biggest responsibility the stars of these teams have is you've got to be available. And I think in both cases, maybe you could argue in Ja's case, well, you're down four, it's desperation time. It's still Anthony Davis sitting right there. Really, that's your decision to make that play when you already have an injured hand? And in Giannis's case, it's 24-12. You're down 12. It's not even 8 minutes into game one of the first game of a playoff series. That could be game-changing. It was. Series-changing. It could be. Although the Bucks have a history of losing game ones, right? And then coming back from them, five of their last seven under Coach Bud, they've lost game ones. And they've won five of those last six series in those cases. But it also could be seismic for the entire postseason and then legacies beyond that. You have to me, both of those plays was actually on the offensive player. If anything, they were reckless plays to me. And in both cases, the opponent wins it. The Lakers steal game one in Memphis, take a 1-0 lead, steal home court advantage in that best of seven series, 128-112. By the way, that game was a 1-point game, and in a blink of an eye, they won by 16.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if you were live betting that game, I'm sure it came down to the end. But that ending might have gone real bad for you if you were on Memphis with some points or something.
And then the Heat would steal home court. The Heat, who, by the way, it looked like the Bulls were going to beat them going away in that game on Friday night for the eighth seed. And then they closed with a 15-1 run in the last 3 minutes of that. And now they're up 1-0 on the Bucks. And again, we don't know how these series are going to end. But I'm just saying those two plays, man, threatened to mar an NBA postseason. We'll see. Hopefully not.
Well, we gotta walk this back a bit. I'm with you that Twitter was over the top with the fouls and them getting called. We all don't like, I guess, guys jumping in the way and undercutting these guys that are elevating.
That's,
it's basically
and
everybody's
that's not
goal.
What happened in those
I don't,
plays.
I don't really care. I mean, it's the guy's in position to take a charge. But I also don't agree with you're putting it on Giannis and Ja for getting hurt.
No, not for getting hurt. What I'm saying is you have a decision at those times in the games, right? In Ja's case, at least it's crunch time. You're down four. But you do have Anthony Davis, who last I checked is this big 7-foot wall. And your decision is I'm going to tomahawk jam over him. Okay, there might be a consequence on that. And in Giannis's case, I'm sorry, dude. Kevin Love is there. It's not even eight minutes into the ball game. Maybe that's not your best decision either to just, you know, go running one-hander over Kevin Love and see what happens after that. So all I'm saying is, look, I'm not blaming either for getting hurt. What I'm saying is if you're going to complain about either side of that, I'm going to complain about the offensive player's decision in both of those, not the defender. Because there's way worse in the NBA. That was not the defender sliding under the offensive player in either case. Look back at those plays, especially Love. Love could have had a sandwich. Could have recited the Pledge of Allegiance, Kelly.
I mean, those two attack the rim, though. Like, I'm never... If they're not attacking... I don't want Giannis taking jump shots.
You want him to attack a rim from
yes.
2
yes.
feet behind
Always.
The arc? You yes. are wrong. We're coming back. Wrong.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip. With your state-issued ID to open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. So the betting implications of all of this, and we'll still get to the Suns and the Clippers, and then the Nuget and the Timberwolves last night. But the betting implications is now the Boston Celtics are the short shot to win it all overnight after that. Is that the case? The Boston Celtics, based on Giannis's, and again, x-rays negative for both Giannis and for Ja Morant. Hopefully they come back in each case soon. Tyler Hero, we failed to mention, breaks his hand for the Miami Heat. I guess he was going after a loose ball, and then he actually put up a three after that. Did you see that? Don't need your mic. Got to get your mic on there, Kelly. We missed your pithy remark there. But Tyler Hero out 4 to 6 weeks, which is sort of a euphemism for, hey, he might be done for the year. But the Celtics are plus 260 now to win it all. The Bucks plus 330. And the Phoenix Suns, who drop their first game to the LA Clippers, 5-1. Those same Clippers, 25-1. By the way, after the Suns at 5-1, it's the Sixers at 9-1, the Nuggets at plus 950, the Warriors 11-1, Lakers 12-1, Clippers 25-1, Grizzlies 35-1, Kings 40-1. Those at DraftKings. Now, let's talk about the Clippers. First of all, do you agree with that based on Giannis's doubt? Oh, Kelly can't get his mic. Okay. So there's a question of would you agree with that move just based on the Giannis doubt? And again, back contusion, x-rays, negative. But back contusions could be funny for those who have had back contusions, they can tell you. Because even if he's able to play, does it linger? Does it hamper his game moving forward, both in this series and if they're lucky enough to get beyond? That series adjustment now, remember the Bucks were minus 1,100 favorites heading into this series with the Heat taking home court advantage with their win yesterday. The Bucks are now minus 240 to win that series. The Heat plus 195 with the 1-0 lead.
Yeah, I think I'm back.
Hey.
I think some people might be surprised by that price.
Surprised in which way?
That I don't know. That it's not even that it's not closer that Bucks are still that big of favorites, even down one. But that Hero injury, like, you can't discount on the Miami side. Like, that, all we've been talking about the past couple weeks is how bad their offense has been. He's kind of, besides Jimmy Butler, your one guy you can rely on offensively. That's massive.
Yeah, even without that, from minus 1,100, it's not going to adjust the whole way down, right? But yes, absolutely about Hero. Let's look at some of these others. Let's go to the Lakers. The Lakers, who take home court from the Memphis Grizzlies. Remember, that was the most closely lined of all series heading into the best of seven first round series, where the Grizzlies were about a minus 125-ish favorite heading in. Well, now the Lakers all the way up to minus 260 with, again, Ja's x-rays negative, but him saying himself, game two could be in jeopardy for him. So the Lakers, now that's an adjustment to minus 260 with them taking home court.
Yeah.
Can I interest you in the Grizzlies at plus 210, or you wouldn't touch it?
No, you can possibly interest me in Lakers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I was holding off betting this before the series started to see if I could get in on the Lakers live at some point, if the Grizzlies stole game one, maybe. Obviously, that didn't happen. But if Ja's out games, and man, I would think he's going to be.
This wouldn't be the first time he was out in playoff series, nor obviously this season with the suspensions.
Yeah. Yeah,
you got to be available, man.
I mean, him and Giannis being out are going to be crazy. And like you were talking about before, Giannis coming back. I mean, for anybody that saw him re-enter that game yesterday, if he's just going to walk around like a stiff seven-footer, he ain't going to be much help to Milwaukee. So mm-hmm. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what these injuries are and how much these guys press to get back.
Do you race to bet either the Bucks or the Heat on that adjusted line?
No, I don't because I don't know what they're – Giannis, I wouldn't be surprised if they're more cautionary with. I don't think Memphis has that luxury. Like, I think Memphis, if there is any ability for Ja Morant to play, he's getting on the court, because I think this is the Lakers series to take otherwise.
Rui Hachimura with 29. Austin Reeves with 23.
Yeah, especially, Gil, thinking over 50-plus from Hachimura and Reeves every game. I like their chances.
not only that, from the field, those two guys were a combined 19 of 27. And from behind the arc, they were a combined 8 of 11. Davis, 22 and 12 with a plus 27 plus minus. LeBron, casually, a 21 and 11. They out-rebounded Memphis by 11. They shot 53.3% from the field, did the Lakers. And then, okay, what about the adjusted line between the Warriors and the Sacramento Kings? Remember, the Warriors were, we tried guessing this before this series, the Warriors ended up being a minus 290, and about minus 275 when all was said and done, pre-flop series favorite. Warriors still favorites at minus 155. Now, remember, if you're like, wait, how are they still favorites? Remember, when they're at home, they're going to be – remember, Sacramento's like a 1.5-point favorite in game one. Sacramento's lines at home, betting lines, are going to be much shorter than what the Warriors are going to be at home, and that's where the sort of discrepancy or seeming discrepancy in those two things lies. So the Warriors still remain the four-time champion Warriors, minus 155, the Kings at plus 130. One game we haven't talked about was yesterday's game between the Clippers and the Suns, which to me is fascinating because the Suns were $6 favorites heading into this series.
Yep.
Six. Well, they lose game one. Remember, the Suns had a 15-0 run in the third quarter where they took a 6-point deficit at 68-62, and they ended up leading by 9, 77-68. And you're like, oh, Suns, not only are they going to win this, they may even cover. Oh, the Phoenix Suns and Kevin Durant. Nope. Clippers close the quarter out with a 13-4 run to tie it up at 81 at the end of the frame, and they win it by 5. The Suns still remain a favorite of minus 195, but shout out JVT, who has remained steadfast with the Clippers this whole time through. Kawhi looked like vintage Kawhi, 38-5-5, KD 27-9-11 in defeat. Do you want to take the Clippers at plus 160? Was that enough for you? I think
no.
I could be talked into this.
Okay. I think I would still need a little bit more bang for my buck there, but yeah, and you're already up 1-0. You took one in Phoenix. I mean, I played the over 5.5 in this series. This wasn't surprising to me at all, what we saw yesterday.
So the thing is, people are like, oh, well, why didn't you take him before the series if you like him so much at plus 160? Because I didn't know until I saw it. But this, you know, once you see it, you're like, oh wow, this Suns' lack of depth is massive.
Yep.
And the Clippers can just throw bodies at you. I don't know, man.
I mean, Torrey Craig gave him 22 points yesterday too.
Yeah. Well, can you count on? That's right. That's exactly right. I mean,
you can't expect that to happen every game. And like, I mean, Durant. People were praising Durant and Booker yesterday, and it's cool. You had good games. You're going to have to do even more than that if this team's going to win a championship.
I'm just saying, of all the adjusted series prices we went through here, that's the one that I think is the most appealing to me. Because the Warriors-Kings remains coin flippy. I certainly wasn't going to play the Warriors at minus 290.
Yeah. Plus, I think that series... Warriors Kings, I think it is set up so perfect to just bet game to game and not even game to game live bet the entire series.
Yeah, wouldn't get into the series price there. I the Lakers is too high. I'm not going against the Bucks. I'm not going against the Celtics. I'm not going against the Sixers, even with the Giannis injury. And then Denver, we didn't even mention. Denver rolls the T-Wolves in game one last night. Denver led by how much at the half did they lead by?
I think it was like 16.
They led
like
by
that.
11 at the half, up 29 after three.
Yeah, thank God, because you know what we didn't start the show with today, complaining about how late games were because I think everybody checked out of this one probably at about halftime.
Let me raise my hand.
I did it in the third quarter.
Let me tell you, when game two was winding down yesterday. Right, there were still 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter of game two, and you're like, wait a minute, there's two more games, and they're not going to start this till like this one is close to ending. That third game last night between the Clippers and the Suns started Pacific time at about 8:25 Pacific, and the Nuggets game started at 8:51 Mountain time, which means what, it was 10:51 on the East Coast PM?
It's insane.
It was so bad.
Especially since Saturday, they started them earlier.
Saturday was civilized.
I thought we were supposed to do the late nights on Saturday and earlier on Sunday.
Made no sense. That Nuggets-T-Wolves game, I would love to know what the national ratings were on that. Couldn't have been much. So I'm going to say of all those, the Clippers adjusted series price, I get it. I didn't get the pre-flop, but I think that's plus 160 still. Yeah, kind of like that. We'll come back. A little baseball talk with Paul Spohr. We'll talk about the Patriots Day game. That first pitch will come in about 35 minutes, what his thoughts are on Shohei and beyond. About 10% of the way through the baseball season. Spohr next. Numbers Game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's a lot to bet on the next 30 days, and for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. That gets you insight into daily baseball best bets, NBA and NHL playoffs, the Kentucky Derby, and the upcoming NFL Draft. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game, also a top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Speaking of which, Kelly Bidlin, I made not one, not two, not three, but four NFL draft bets Saturday night.
Yeah, you did.
We're going to get to those coming up. Shout out to Stations.
That's what I was just going to say. Yep.
Shout out to Stations. How many times have we said that on this show? Well, I can't count them. It's too many.
I got to fire up the account again, apparently.
Shout out to Mark Meltzer, my buddy Meltzer like Seltzer, who let me know. He's like, oh, you see this tweet from Stations? They got NFL draft props out. And when I say that, I mean they have the biggest menu in town.
Oh, not even close.
And it's not even close.
Yeah, not even close.
Because when you're competing with virtually no one else, that will get you that title. So we'll get the four draft bets that I made. And again, shout out to Stations. You got to be first on these things, man. That's the thing where they move. And they did move after I bet them. Not number, but price, but juice-wise they moved. Let's talk some baseball. Paul Spohr joins us at Spohr, S-P-O-R-E-R, on the Twitter machine. He works at FanGraphs and, oh, so many other places as well. The Sleeper and the Bus podcast. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm well, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Can you remind everybody, including myself, your latest gig that you have?
I'm the content director for OOTP, which is Out of the Park Baseball's Perfect Team Game. It's a card collecting game. Basically, I make a bunch of cards, virtual cards that are throughout the years of baseball. You collect a team, you play against other people's squads. You know, it's like one of those just, you know, card collecting games, and you get to play your games against other people to see if you can build the best team over time. So you can have a guy from 1884 along with a guy from 2023 and on the same team.
Yeah, 1884, randomly selected a Maroons player, for instance.
Yeah, like Buttercup Dickerson, perhaps.
Or like Oyster Burns, for instance.
Yeah, who can say for sure?
Who can say? Well, so let's start there, because obviously the Rays finally lost. They 2-1 13 in a row, just like the 87 Brewers and the 82 Braves. They matched the modern-day record. The Maroons live in infamy. You could hear the Maroons popping the champagne, the cork from their champagne. Let's go the opposite.
No doubt.
Let's go the opposite. So we're 10% roughly to the baseball season. So we get to start, we get to make like on pace projections now. And I'm just looking at FanGraphs here. I know you're not supposed to make on pace after 10%, but I'm just looking at FanGraphs and I'm looking at the Oakland A's. The Oakland A's, who are 3-13, their team ERA, Paul, is 7.80.
Okay, they got it down. I think it was at 7.97.
Oh, so
They really chiseled it down lately.
Oh, no, check that. 7.60. I misread it. 7.60. Yeah, they're coming
back. Give
them
their credit.
But if you go to the advanced stats, the FIP or the XFIP, I mean, it's all bad. It's all bad. They're 3-13. The Mets of 1962 lost 120 games their first year. This, if we did the on-pace thing, this team would you know, lose 130 games, roughly. Yeah. Might they threaten to be one of the worst teams you've ever seen? Let's put it that way.
Well, don't forget, I'm a Tigers fan.
So yes, I know. So I'm asking the right guy.
Exists. I mean, they certainly could. I do think some of that young pitching that they have this year is a bit better, and as the season wears on, you know, they might have their up streaks a little bit in Oakland. Kyle Muller, Ken Waldichuk, J.P. Sears, three interesting lefties that have not been great. You know, I think Sears probably been the best of the bunch. Muller had the opening day start that looked good. Waldichuk's really struggled. But it's bad, you know, and one of the signatures of a dreadful team is always a bad bullpen. So even if you do get some good starting, you got the guys in the bullpen that just love to blow the leads and will consistently do so. And I think that will be the case with this Oakland ball club. And then you have to figure that if anybody has a pulse out there, they'll end up trading them to make it worse as the season wears on. It is always so hard to tag a team for like 110 losses. And I thought they'd be a bit better this year, just in general, trying to move, you know, because they usually have quick rebuilds. You know, they're down for a few years and back up. I think I even talked to you about this last year. They don't usually go down to the triple digit losses even. They're usually just, you know, 90 something loss, 80 something loss. But they're really, really, really bad right now in Oakland. And it's hard to really see them getting all that much better. The bullpen is terrible. I can give you a bunch of names and play the old reliever or congressman, and I definitely would fool you.
The game we play on our congressman podcast. I love it. Oh, that's everybody's favorite game here in this country. We have a Patriots Day game in Boston this morning. Shohei's on the hill. The Angels, trying to avoid the four-game sweep, are -145. Shohei, who I'd love to see win not only the MVP and the Cy Young, but also the Silver Slugger, the Gold Glove, whatever that you can give him. He's given up one run in 19 innings this year thus far. He does have a bit of a walk problem, I would say, a little bit. Do you like this game right here?
Yeah, I do. I mean, he has a walk problem, Shohei does, but you can't get a hit, so it doesn't matter,
right?
It's almost like he's so much in control that he kind of decides when they get a base runner as if he wants to be a little wild there, but he's been so unhittable. His stuff is so nasty. I think you take a number like that on Shohei. I understand the supporting team isn't great. They're 7-8, though. They're not super dreadful right now. That I still think that's a talented ball club. You know, I'm an idiot that continues to buy in on this club because of their overall talent, but for whatever reason, they can't make it all work. But I do like Ohtani here. You're not going to get him at that kind of number very often. A four-game sweep is very difficult, even at home, even in an interesting circumstance like the Patriots Day game for the marathon, which is super early. I do still like the Angels here because Ohtani is dealing like that. The only like X factor that we can't really know is, you know, sometimes these pitchers, they don't respond well to the early game. Lucas Giolito's kind of known for not being a day game guy. So when he had the morning game last year or 2 years ago, I can't remember which, it didn't really go well for him. I don't know if Ohtani to have any issues like that, though, so that's where I would lean.
Big day of baseball, not a full slate, but 13 games in all. DFS-wise, which way would you go here?
So you got a game in Coors with the Pirates going out there. And I do think there are some bargain guys you can get in on. Well, Rodolfo Castro, somebody I definitely like. Going up against Kyle Freeland, Cabrian Hayes, Carlos Santana. Those are kind of on the cheap options. Andrew McCutchen, Brian Reynolds, if you want to spend big. There is a world where you can definitely mix aces with Coors. Like you can get Burns. He's under five figures at DraftKings coming off of his big outing there. Kind of showed that he's back on track. DeGrom, of course, if you want to pay up big. I'm still a Hayden Wesneski guy, but this is kind of a last chance saloon. If he can't figure out something against Oakland, then maybe he's not as good as I thought he was after his second half last year. But I am going to have him in a lineup there. Maybe go something like DeGrom, Wesneski, and you can still get plenty of Coors there because you got the discount on Wesneski. So here's hoping that he can really take off against Oakland, because if you can't beat Oakland, well, you got a lot of things to figure out.
Yeah. Let me follow up on a couple things. One, Steve Fezzik, friend of show, friend of network, just texted, says, I bet Oakland under last night, Athletics under, for the eighth time this year, under 56.5 adjusted season win total. That's his eighth bet on the Oakland Athletics under. So far, looking pretty good on that one as well.
Yeah, so far looking great. And again, it's hard to really see how that's going to go crazy other than the old ebbs and flows of baseball and every team wins 60, every team loses 60. But this isn't in every team. This is really bad right now.
Yeah, what was the old Chuck Tanner? Chuck Tanner, who's the former World Series champion manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1979 when they came back from a 3-1 deficit to beat the Orioles. He used to say, you're going to win 54, you're going to lose 54. It's the 54, it's the other 54 you got to worry about. That was
it's 100% true, though. Like, that's generally where teams are, and that's why baseball is such a grind.
Shohei 7.5 is his strikeout total today, plus 110 on the over. Do you like that?
Yeah, I think I do. That's a decent number. You know, eight is no joke, and Boston isn't exactly a rollover. But yeah, I do like that. Shohei's just so dominant right now. Everything's working, and like you said, except a little bit of the command at times. But he's so unhittable that it's not really hurting him. Yeah, I can definitely see Boston striking out double digit times.
All right, leave us with this: the team, the first 10% of the season, the team either to the good or the bad that you feel like, and I asked you some form of this, I think, before, but that you feel like you may have misassessed and that maybe it could trigger a bet for somebody?
That's a good question there. Maybe San Diego isn't as good as I thought. It's early. They haven't had Joe Musgrove yet, so I don't really want to go aggro on that, but I like seeing the Diamondbacks up there, of course. Talked about how much I like them, and then the Dodgers and the Padres are kind of like just hanging out. I don't know. There's not a whole lot of teams. Not to say that I got everything right or anything, but there aren't a bunch of teams that are jumping out where I'm looking at the standings thinking, wow, I might have misassessed that. I was in on Texas early. They're playing well so far. Not saying I'm right on that, but you know, that might be a team that some people are taking notice of. I kind of liked Milwaukee a bit as well, so I don't know that I thought they'd be 11-5 in their first 16, but they don't really surprise me. So if there's any team that I'm a little bit surprised, and it's very, very small, it would be San Diego being under 500.
Yeah. Yeah, and you like the Diamondbacks as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
In addition,
yes, big time on the baby snakes.
Well, you're a tough cookie to crack, or a nut to crack, whatever the phrase is, with this question, because you've been on it so far. We shall see. It's a long season.
Very early. We're not taking any wins yet.
No, we're not. We're not cashing it. We're not spending the money yet. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it, man.
Take care, Gil. Talk to you next week.
Paul Spohr, everybody from FanGraphs, coming back with those NFL draft bets on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place a one-game parlay wager with at least four legs on any MLB game. And if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. Just log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to get started. Then opt into the one-game parlay insurance promotion to receive up to $25 back in bonus bets if your parlay with four legs or more loses by just one leg. Only at BetMGM, the best place to bet on baseball. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager, new and existing customer offer, rather. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotion not available in Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. Still doing the Boston Marathon there in Well, Boston, Massachusetts.
Still. Doesn't it go like the whole day? Morning?
Well, not the winners, but yes, the races, the stragglers, if you will.
I'd be out there for 36 hours.
Oh, you and me, we'd be out there all day for sure.
I'd be like dead a mile into it. Come on.
Have you ever tried doing a long distance race, by the way?
The longest I've done anything is a 5K.
So 5Ks were my longest too, and you get through
those
and you're
okay. I don't think that's counted as a long distance.
It's not. But I've trained, not that I was going to do it, but I've trained along with people who were doing half marathons and marathons. And once you get to the 5 or 6 mile mark, my knees just immediately get shot. And I'm like, you're done, buddy.
Yeah, my legs would just collapse. They'd be like, nope.
We were
not built or trained for this at all.
Well, that's it. It wasn't trained for it is really probably what it is. Before we get to the NFL draft bets, Kelly, you have a Russell Westbrook video you wanted to show me?
Oh, man, you want to do this? All right, yeah, we can do this now. So this apparently, but I got to set this up for you. I'm so glad you have not seen this, Gil.
I have not seen it.
Because what you're about to see is the stadiums getting a little too, part of it's the stadiums getting a little too clever with, like, their cool little hangout spots. So the video starts, and Matt, you can roll it. It starts, this is basically looks like Russell Westbrook just jumps into some guy's living room. This is allegedly at halftime of the game last night. Westbrook and some gentleman in the Suns suite area getting in an argument.
What
okay?
the?
Yeah, this is an argument at halftime. Westbrook then goes back out. Now, here's my American hero. This kid on the bottom right is sitting there with his intoxicated father yelling at Russell Westbrook, and he's eating a piece of some food holding the plate, Gil. He doesn't have a knife, doesn't have a fork. He just grabbing by the plate and wolfing down some food, not even caring about his dad getting into some argument with Russell Westbrook or who Russell Westbrook is. Well, what's going on?
Wait, I have so many questions.
I know,
where,
right?
So where is this suite located that Russell Westbrook could just walk into it?
So we'll play the video from the beginning. This is what shocked me, too, Gil. I thought this must be after the game or something like that. You see at the very end of the video, Westbrook goes back out onto the court. So it is literally in between the tunnel, like locker room in the court.
Oh, I see.
So yeah, I'm with you.
That's a weird spot.
Left with more questions than answers. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm left with more questions than answers.
What could this guy have been saying that made Russell Westbrook have to confront him? Really? It mattered that much to you?
I know. It's like two huge bozos and then the American hero kid, where he's like, I'm not wasting this free prime rib. I don't need a knife. I don't need a fork.
That kid, when he's older, is going to be like, you won't believe my dad got an argument with Russell Westbrook in the middle of the game. What did you do? I just kept eating.
It kind of reminded me of my childhood. Like, oh, my dad's yelling with some stranger again? All right, I'm just going to keep doing my thing.
Westbrook ended up with 9 points, 11 boards, 8 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks.
Bizarre game from him. Did you watch the entirety of that game? Because he was actually huge down the stretch.
He was huge down the stretch.
But he was terrible the rest of the game.
Horrible. Couldn't hit a shot. Yeah, but that's kind of him, right?
That's kind of him.
At this point, that's kind of... We were trying to figure out yesterday, Will Hill, Felica and I were trying to figure out, had Westbrook and Durant ever faced each other in a playoff series? And the answer is no. Because the 3 years that KD played with the Warriors... won 2 championships, popped his Achilles in the third. Westbrook was busy getting bounced in the first round with OKC all 3 years, and none of those times to the Warriors. So that was the first time they'd ever faced each other in a postseason series. That never materialized into any sort of drama at any point in that game yesterday.
That was a good question. I wouldn't have been able to answer that off the top of my head.
Well, the reason that no one can and the reason that we couldn't is because those two guys are so... They've played for so many different teams that there's no way your brain, besides them playing together in OKC, could have organized in your head when they played for whom at what time against each other. You'd have to look, you'd have to look it up. Speaking of which, by the way, do you have any? There's only 2 games. So here's the problem with the first round. We get the 4 games on Saturday. We get the 4 games on Sunday. You're like, oh, this is awesome. But the NBA now decides, this is the thing with the first round. It's interminable. Now, it's great to wait for things like the Warriors and the Kings and for the Knicks and the Cavs and for the Lakers and the Grizzlies and even for the Suns and Clippers. But like the Celtics and the Sixers, do we really have to wait as long as we do in between games? So tonight there's only 2 games. Tonight it's the Nets and the Sixers and it's the Warriors and the Kings. Everybody looking forward to the Warriors-Kings game. I mean, that's going to be awesome tonight. But it's only 2 tonight. Then we go to 3 tomorrow. then it's three. Like, we refuse to go back to the quadruple headers, right? So only two tonight. Nets, Sixers. Sixers, massive favorites in this game again. What is it, 8.5 again? And then the Warriors actually 1.5-point favorites in this game against the Kings. Is that right? Is that what I'm saying?
Anywhere, pick them to Warriors 1.5, and then Nets is or Sixers 9.5 to 10.5. Anywhere in between there. That one I'm not touching, Gil. I don't think I'll be doing anything with that entire series. I still think it's a, you know, gentleman's sweep prediction, and the Nets steal one of these games because they shoot lights out. But I'm not going to try to guess which one that might be. And then Warriors Kings, I took a little Kings pregame last time around and then jumped in live on them. I won't be doing anything pregame with this one, but I'll be looking live and kind of both sides. I think this is going to be a series where you're able to do that almost throughout the entirety of it, because the defenses are just not great, especially on the Sacramento side. You know, real quick, we did bring up a lot about the guys that got hurt yesterday. But the guys that returned, including Andrew Wiggins and Julius Randle, oh, man. Like, you could see the immediate impact they had. And I was actually shocked at how good both looked and how ready to go
Me
both
too.
Looked.
It's like they didn't miss a beat.
Yeah.
Either of them.
So that's a big factor tonight. That's why I'm not as bullish on the Kings after seeing that.
Though I will say this, like when Wiggins put up that shot that could have put the Warriors ahead in the closing moments,
yeah.
In my head I did say to myself, this would be way too storybook. Like, this is not going to go in.
Yeah.
That thought occurred to me.
God, he had a great look too.
He sure did. NFL draft. Again, shout out to stations in a state where NFL draft props are, how can I put this? Impossible to find. I think I said that correctly. I ended up betting 4. And by the way, they took a bet, Kelly. So I didn't push it past a dime, but they took a dime on each of these.
Nice. Okay.
I didn't push further to find out if they would take further. But a dime, you know, so that's a hefty bet to take. It wasn't like they were like, oh, yeah, here, give me 100 and that's the end of that. So I already had the C.J. Stroud first overall pick bets, plus 682 and plus 340. We are 10 days away from the NFL draft, and all indications are that's going to be Bryce Young at number one. That's the buzz. I do have Jackson Smith Njigba as the first wideout drafted at plus 350. He's way minus money now.
Such a good bet.
But love that bet. So here are the four that I made at stations. Jackson Smith Njigba to go under 12.5, meaning he will go in the first 12 picks of the draft. I got that at plus 200. Plus 200 on that.
Yeah, that one keeps moving that the other way.
So here's the thing. Again, Jeremiah's last mock, McShay's last. He's going under 12.5. I took Broderick Jones, the offensive tackle from Georgia, over 13.5, and got that, I believe, at plus 140, if I'm not mistaken, on that one. Then I took Skoronski, the offensive tackle from Northwestern, over Paris Johnson, meaning to be drafted before Paris Johnson, the OT out of Ohio State, that I got at plus 120. And then the total number of quarterbacks, which we recommended on the show when it was at DraftKings at plus 550. We don't have DraftKings, nor could we bet at DraftKings, even if we did have it. But it was plus money. It was still plus 100. I took it, believing that Hendon Hooker will go in the first round as well. All of those have moved. Not the numbers, not the 12.5, the 13.5, or, you know, the 4.5 QBs, but the juice has moved. So you won't be able to get the same juice that I got, the same favorable number in terms of the price. But those are the four that I really liked and that I bet. So those are all in pocket. Thank you, stations, for whether I win them or not. Thank you, stations, for having the gumption to put out NFL draft prop bets and to actually take a bet on them.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep.
I almost went over there and did it myself yesterday, but there was nothing posted I really wanted to go grab. But yeah, man, they're the only one up with a legit menu in town right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, with a legit menu, right? Because there's others who have like 4 or 5, but it's like they're hardly bettable.
And it's I don't know about you, Gil, but it's like there's less buzz for me about the draft this year, partially because of that. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have as many options.
Because of that. I feel the same way. I'm like, I'd love to like get more enthused about it, but...
Like you just said 10 days, and I'm like, 10 days?
10 days. 10 days. Be a lot of intrigue between now and then, I'm sure. You can count on that. We'll come back. The Stanley Cup postseason begins tonight. Andy McNeil is next.